1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Let's pray and ask God's help again. Father, thank You so much for telling us what we need to know You, to trust You, God, to be born again, and to love You and to love one another. Father, we pray that today You would come upon us by Your Spirit, that You would encourage us, Father, to know what these words mean, and in knowing what these words mean, we would be changed, God, that we would be equipped to better love one another, that we would fall more deeply in love with You and Your Word, Father, that we would be more faithful disciples of Jesus, Father, that You would excite us about Him and all that He's done. And we pray, Lord, if there is anyone here this morning that has not been born of God, we pray that today would be the day, Lord, that You would awaken them and cause them to be saved. And so, Father, do it, we pray, and make us more like Your Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you, as a congregation, to know what Christmas means. Know what it means when you say Merry Christmas. And some people might say, well, we don't say Merry Christmas because it's the Mass. It's the Roman Catholic Mass, and we don't believe in that, which is true. But I want you to know what Christmas means. Not what it may have meant in history or where it came from its source. What does it mean to Olney Baptist Church? And I'll tell you what it means. Christ Mass. Christ. Christ is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. The one who would come to save His people from their sins. And we'll talk more about who the Christ is in the sermon. But that is Christ and Mass. What does Mass mean? It comes from the Latin word missa, which means dismissed or sent or go out. And so when you say Merry Christmas, you're saying Merry Christ dismissed, Christ sent, Christ going out, Christ coming to save sinners. Christ was dismissed by His Father from heaven to come and become flesh and save His people from their sins. So when you say Merry Christmas, you're saying Merry Christ sent out to save sinners from their sins. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And in order to be adopted as God's children, we have to believe in Jesus Christ. Did you know everyone is not God's child? John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive Him, who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And so we have to believe in Christ, receive Him by faith, by repentance and faith, in order to be a child of God. And in order to believe in Jesus Christ, you must first be born of God. In order to even believe in Christ, God has to take the initiative and awaken your dead heart and cause you to be born again. And so that's what we're going to think about this morning, being born of God. Who has been born of God? Everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. Notice that that's how our verse begins. Everyone who believes. Everyone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever, the vilest of sinners who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. As the hymn writer says. And so maybe you're here this morning and you think you're too bad to be saved by God. And I want to encourage you, you're not too bad. No matter what you've done, where you've been, how wicked you've lived. I don't care if you're a serial killer. Here this morning. Friend, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Everyone who believes. Every age. Young and old. Middle aged. Every ethnicity. Every different beautiful shade of melanin. Everyone every ethnicity, every background, every gender, and there are only two, male and female. Every class of people, every economic status, rich, poor, in between, every tribe and tongue and people and language, everyone who believes, but not every faith. Not every faith. Only faith in Jesus Christ, and only faith in the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Everyone who believes has been born of God. Everyone who believes what? Everyone who believes, the text says, that Jesus is the Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. I mentioned that Dr. R.C. Sproul went to be with Jesus this week, and I'd already put a quotation of his in the sermon before I knew that he was going to pass. How appropriate that we will quote from him as he is with Jesus now, seeing him face to face, enjoying the Lord on his first Sunday morning in heaven. That's an amazing thought. That's an amazing thought. And Dr. Sproul said this about the meaning. What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? It's not His last name. Jesus Christ. This is His first name and last name. No, no. This is telling you something about who He is. Jesus the Christ. And Dr. Sproul says this: the meaning of Christ is drawn from the Old Testament. God promised the ancient Israelites that a Messiah would come to deliver them from sin. The idea of the Messiah is carried over into the New Testament with the title Christ. The Greek word Christos, from which we get the English word Christ, is the translation of the Hebrew term Mashiach, which is the source for the English word Messiah. Mashiach, in turn, is related to the Hebrew verb Masak, which means to anoint. Therefore, when the New Testament speaks of Jesus Christ, it is saying Jesus the Messiah, which means literally Jesus the Anointed One. He goes on, in Old Testament times, people were subject to anointing when they were called to the offices of prophet, priest, and king. For example, when Saul became the first king of Israel, Samuel the prophet anointed his head with oil in a ceremonial fashion, 1 Samuel 10:1. This religious rite was performed to show the king of Israel was chosen and endowed by God for the kingship. Likewise, priests, Exodus 28:41, and prophets, 1 Kings 19:16, were anointed at God's command. In a sense, anyone in the Old Testament who was set apart and consecrated for a servant task was a Messiah, little m, for he was one who received an anointing. But the people of Israel looked forward to that promised individual who was not merely a Messiah, but the Messiah, capital M. The one who would be supremely set apart and consecrated by God as their prophet, priest, and king. And so to say Jesus the Christ means Jesus the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus who is our prophet. He is the one who came speaking the very words of God, and not only that, who is the very Word of God. He's our priest. He's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's the priest alone who can bring us back to God. He's the priest who gave Himself to be the sacrifice. And He's the King. He is Lord. He is God. He is King of Kings. He is ruler. All authority in heaven and on earth is His. He is almighty and all powerful. Jesus is the Christ, the prophet, priest, and king, the Anointed One who came to save His people from their sins. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, the text says. Being born of God must happen first before you can believe that Jesus is the Christ. Did you realize that in the grammar of the English? It means the same thing in the Greek. It means the same thing. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been in the past, right? Born of God. In the Greek, it's the perfect tense, has been, something that happened in the past that has continuing implications now. Friend, do you realize this? This is amazing. This may change your life today. You cannot even believe that Jesus is the Christ unless you first get born of God. Did you know that? You and I are so bad, so selfish, so wicked, so hateful toward God, so not seeking Him, that unless God first comes and intervenes, we will not believe in God. I can yell and scream and shout and stamp my feet all I want up here, but unless God causes you to be born again, you will not believe. And guess what? I can't make you be born again. Nobody can make you be born again, only God. That's why when Jesus was talking about this in John 3, He said, the Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it pleases. You're going to control the wind? You're going to stop the hurricane from coming? You're going to make the tornado stop in its tracks? Jesus can. Jesus can say, peace be still. We can't harness the wind. The wind does whatever it pleases. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Friend, you realize, if you're not believing in Jesus, how desperate you are for God to first act on your heart. You ought to be crying for Him to act. We're so bad, so dead, that God must take the initiative and make us come alive before we can even believe. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2 describes us in our deadness. And you were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Romans 3, 10 through 12. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. No one seeks for God unless God seeks them out first. Did you know that? No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. And so this is what God did to Lydia in the book of Acts chapter 16 as they preached the gospel. The Bible says in Acts 16, 14, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. In other words, God has to open your heart right now if you're going to get anything from this sermon. Father, we pray now that You open hearts just as You opened Lydia's, that You would open hearts now in this congregation. Open my heart to receive what You're saying through Your Word. God has to open your heart to hear, to understand, to believe. Peter, remember when Peter made his great confession that Jesus is the Christ? When he declared Jesus is the Christ in Matthew 16, 16 through 17, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he declared to Jesus after Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." God had to give that to Peter. God had to cause Peter to be born again. Friends, faith is a gift. To believe in Jesus means you've been given a gift. It's not something you do. It's not that God has done 99% and you add your 1%. No, God does it all. God does it all. He awakens you. He gives you new life, and He gives you the gift of faith, which His Son purchased on the cross for you. Faith is a gift. Philippians 1:29, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake." Faith is a gift. Saving faith is a gift. What is saving faith? Knowledge and affirmation and trust. This is very important because the devil has the first two. Saving faith means that you have knowledge. You know truths. You know facts. You know about Jesus. You know that He's the God-man. You know that He died on the cross. You know that He rose again. You have to know things. Not only do you have to know things, the devil knows things. You have to affirm those things. Not only do you have to know them, you have to say, yes and amen, they're true. I believe that Jesus really is the God-man and that He died and He rose again. I believe that it's true. It really happened. Guess what? The devil believes it's true. You see all over the Gospels, the demons. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. Oh, the demons know, they have those first two. James 2 says the demons believe and they're not going to be saved. So friend, you may have knowledge about this gospel. You may believe it's true. You need number three. You need part three to be saved from your sins and go to heaven. And that is trust. You've got to trust this message. You have got to bank all your hopes to be forgiven of your sins. All your hopes in this life and the life to come. I trust Him. He is my only hope. I throw all my hope in Jesus. You must trust Him. You must trust Him. Have you trusted? If you have, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. That is a gift. Ask God for it. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. One of my favorite prayers. Lord, I believe what I'm preaching right now. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Repentance is a gift. You must believe and repent. When we talk to people about the gospel here at this church, we ask, what is the response to the gospel? And as we look through the New Testament, the language that the evangelists use is mainly not receive Jesus into your heart or ask Jesus into your heart or invite Jesus into your heart, though I do believe it's biblical to do that and right to do that. But the language the evangelists use over and over again is repent and believe the gospel. How do you invite Jesus into your heart? Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance is a gift. Turning from sin and turning to God. Repentance is a gift from God. 2 Timothy 2:25. God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. God may grant repentance. He may, as I preach the gospel, as Heidi shares the gospel, as we have gospel conversations, God may grant these people repentance. And that's up to Him. We're to be faithful, sharing the message and loving people and praying for people. Friend, this is clearly taught in the statement of faith of this church on one of our articles of Grace in Regeneration. We believe that in order to be saved, sinners must be regenerated or born again. That regeneration consists in giving a holy disposition to the mind, that it is effected in a manner above our comprehension by the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth. That's why we preach. It happens in connection with the divine truth so as to secure our voluntary obedience to the gospel and that its proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. You see, the fruits of being born again, of being regenerated, that comes first. And then the fruit is repentance and faith and newness of life. As Jesus said in His conversation with Nicodemus, John 3:3-8, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Friend, again, I ask this often when I talk about this topic. How many of you helped Mama push yourself out when you were born? Anybody there as a baby cheering Mama on? Push Mama, push Mama, I'm almost there. No, you're just a little baby enjoying the ride. Friend, you can't do anything to cause yourself to be born again. One a prominent evangelist has a book title that the title is actually, what's a nice term to use? Quite impossible. The book title is called How to Be Born Again. Only God can cause you to be born again. Only God. You can't make that happen. No more than you could make your mom give birth to you. What can you do? Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't have affection for Jesus, you don't have affection for Christ, you don't have a burden to share the gospel like our sister Heidi, you don't hate your sin, you don't have a commitment to be a vibrant, involved member of a local church, you don't believe in Jesus, friend, cry out to God. Lord, I'm dead. I am dead. I'm hearing what this preacher is saying, and I don't know you like he's talking about, and I fear that I'm dead. I love the mirror more than I love God. I love the mirror. I like looking at myself. I like my iPod. I like my job. I like my school. I like my games. I like my husband, my wife. I like my children more than you, God. Friend, if that's you, cry out to God for mercy. Lord, awaken my heart. Give me new life that I might love you and trust you above all. He must do it. He must do it. And you noticed Jesus talked about being born of water and the Spirit. What does that mean? It means Ezekiel 36, 25 and 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you. Water is a picture of cleansing. It's a picture of cleansing and becoming clean. That's what that means. God, when He causes you to be born again, He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you and I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Your life will change. Friend, your life will change. Your life will change when you know God and are born of God. And God does this by the power of His Spirit through the Word of God. And I was so encouraged this week by thinking about this true story of a man who was an evil, wicked blasphemer of God who liked to go around in bars and pubs and make fun of this gospel preacher. This gospel preacher who wasn't very much to look at. He was marred physically and he had crossed eyes and people loved to make fun of him for how he looked. And this man who hated the gospel that he preached, they had a club called the Hellfire Club, and they would go around and make fun of this preacher and they would mock him. They would preach sermons that he preached and make fun of him and cross their eyes and make people laugh about him. And this man, one of those in the Hellfire Club was named John Thorpe. And he was in the bar and they were all making fun of this preacher. And John Thorpe basically says, give me a try. I'm really going to make fun of him. You think you guys are making fun of him? Wait until you see me make fun of him. And Phil Johnson writes, when John Thorpe's turn came, he stood in the center of this pub and crossed his eyes and waited till the laughter died down. And then he brashly announced, I shall beat you all. And someone handed him a Bible, and it fell open to Luke 13, and his eyes went straight to verse 3. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he began to read the text aloud, fully intending to deliver a humorous message, mocking Whitfield's style. But as soon as he read the text aloud, Whitfield's biographer, John Gilley, says his mind was affected in a very extraordinary manner. The sharpest pains of conviction now seized him, and conscience denounced tremendous vengeance upon his soul. In a moment, he was favored with a clear view of his subject, and he began to preach on that text, and the whole pub fell silent. Thorpe said later that his mind was filled with sudden insight on that text, and he delivered a full sermon on it, not as a comedy show, but with genuine gospel passion. The Word of God had pierced John Thorpe's own heart, and when he finished his sermon, he sat down trembling and brokenhearted. In John Gilley's words, instead of entertaining the company, that sermon spread a visible depression. And by the time Thorpe finished speaking, there was a sullen gloom upon every countenance. John Thorpe himself later testified that when he read that text and it gripped his conscience, his hair stood erect. He confessed the truth of the gospel and gave his heart to Christ right there in that pub. His aim was to taunt and ridicule, but he accidentally converted himself. Amen. Amen. She wants to clap. I want to clap too. Amen. Friends, that gives me as a preacher hope. a hope. I don't have to preach a perfect sermon today, but you might hear, "Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." And as the Spirit works, He causes you to be born again, just like John Thorpe. I mean, there's nobody here mocking me, making fun of me in a bar. If the Spirit can convert that man, He can convert anyone. After all, He converted me. Selfish, proud, arrogant. The world revolves around Joseph Randall. He converted me. Oh, He can convert anybody. Wow, the power of the gospel, of the Word of God. The power of the Word penetrated his soul, and the power of the Spirit raised him to life. Friend, he was born again. He was born again. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Friend, you'll know it. You will know it. There will be a decisive change in your life. Even for those who are sort of squeaky clean. I was one of those squeaky clean ones. Little Pharisee. Outwardly, mama's dream. Good grades, no parties, no drugs, no sex, no alcohol. Squeaky clean young man. Everybody thought how great he is. But when I got saved, when I got born again, oh, I knew it. I knew it. It was no longer all about me. I was doing all those things so that people would clap for me and look at me and praise me. Look how smart he is. Look how great he is. Look how good athlete he is. Look where he's going to college. Oh, praise him. Oh, yes, I wanted it for me. And then I got born again and realized Jesus hates that stuff. He hates that pride. He hates pride. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for being all about me. Please forgive me. And I'm still dying to it today. Still got more pride to die to today. But you'll know it when you're born again. The Bible changes from being boring to beloved. Church was boring to me. Maybe you're bored now. But friend, when you're born again, you will not be bored anymore. With the Bible, with God, you get excited about Him. You get excited. You want to be with Him in His presence. Pray. Come to church. Saw a picture somebody shared last night about these people. They're freezing and they're in this football stadium and it's snowing everywhere, but they're there. And the caption on the picture was, "If only church members were that faithful." Boom! Friends, when you get born again, you want to be with Him. You want to be in His presence. You want to be with His people. It's your delight. It's your delight more than a football game. It's your delight. The Bible changes from being boring to beloved. God changes from good, nice thoughts to a glorious, great, majestic, beautiful, exciting, magnificent lover of your soul. Church is not the same place, just the place that you go once a week because you have to or because you've always gone. But it's the gathering of the beloved ones in whom God delights. You hunger and thirst to be with the bride of Jesus, the church, whom you've promised to help follow Jesus, to love her, encourage her, sing with her, pray with her, praise God for her, and hear the King Jesus speak. Friend, are you born again? We want to invite you to be born again. If you're not, that booklet about 1 John, these tests of genuine conversion, read that book if you're concerned. Believe the gospel today. You see, we're so bad, dead in trespasses and sins, so selfish and proud and sinful, committing sexual immorality, sex outside of marriage. Friend, is anyone shacking up here today? That's sin. Anyone shacking up? That Christians don't do that. Anyone cheating on their spouse, Christians don't do that. Anyone contemplating divorce, Christians don't do that. Anyone lying, cheating, stealing, Christians don't do that. But we've all done that, haven't we? Oh, friend, I'm a sinner. Your pastor is a sinner, and he needs Jesus. We've all done that. We've all done those things. We all stand before Him condemned. And we need a Savior. And praise God, Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus came to the world and lived a perfect, holy, pure, godly life and loved sinners and raised the dead and healed the sick and caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear. And He died on that Roman cross where He suffered the wrath and curse and judgment that I deserve and you deserve. And He was buried and He rose on the third day. He conquered sin and death and hell. And He says to you, no matter what you've done, no matter your background, believe the Son today and you shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Friend, would you believe today? I will be in the back. I'll be downstairs. There are other Christians here. If you have not believed in Jesus today and trusted Him as your Savior, please come and talk to us. We want you to be saved. And everyone who has been born of God loves the Father. Amen. What do those born of God do? Everyone who has been born of God loves the Father. Look at the text again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God. The second part of this verse assumes that those who are born of God love the Father. Did you notice that? You might read this verse and say, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and they need to insert a section that says, and everyone who's born of God loves the Father, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever's been born of God. But the Holy Spirit and John just assume that those who are born of God love the Father. Friend, that's going to happen to you if you get born of God. You are going to love the Father. You're going to love Him. Not just lip service, not just words, not just going through the motions, but you will fall in love with Him. You might do crazy stuff because you love Him. Huh? You have crazy conversations. Oh, I don't want to talk to that person about Jesus because they're going to think I'm a fanatic and laugh at me. And friends, I promise you, the more you do it, and the more you get used to people looking at you as crazy, the easier it gets. Yes, I'm crazy. Do you love Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you a Christian? Well, let me tell you about it. The more you do it, the less concerned you'll be thinking about what people think of you. The more you do anything, it becomes a habit. And so you fall in love with Him. That's why so many young Christians, they're going from door to door, house to house. Have you heard about Him? Have you heard about Him? Do you know Him? Friend, we ought to never lose that zeal. We ought to never lose that zeal when we first became a Christian. We ought to be telling people the gospel. We love the Father when we're born of God. Abraham. Remember Abraham, Genesis 15:1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Friends, Christians love the Father. Abraham's reward is God. Abraham's exceedingly great reward is God. It was true for Moses. He fell in love with the Father when they're going, thinking about going into the promised land in Exodus 33:14-15. God said to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said back to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. You see that? Moses says, I don't care about the milk and honey and the beauty of the promised land. I don't care about the stuff. All the stuff the TV preachers want to get you to fall in love with. Come to Jesus and you'll have money. Come to Jesus and you'll drive cars like me and have suits like me and drive jets like me and have big million-dollar homes like me. No, that's not what Moses wants. He says, you can have all that. Give me Jesus. You can have the car. You can have the house. You can have the money. You can have the bank account. I want Jesus. That's what Moses says. Lord, take the milk and honey. If you don't go with us, don't take us up into the promised land. We want you, Father. We want you. David, in Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. Psalm 16:2, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but you? There's nothing upon earth that I desire besides you. Those who have been born again, born of God, love the Father. They love Him. They love Him. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves whoever has been born of God. Look at the text one more time. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Because we love the Father, we will love whatever He loves. Because we love the Father, we will love whatever He loves. And so you see the young man, and they see what Daddy does, and they want to do just what Daddy does. They want to be like Daddy. There's nobody like Daddy. And they go to school and argue over who Daddy gonna beat who Daddy up, and my Daddy's better than your Daddy, and they love their Daddies. And they want to shave like Daddy. They'll pretend. Want to be like Daddy. And we love what Daddy loves. If Daddy loves the Steelers, then I love the Steelers. If Daddy loves the Eagles, then you're going to love the Eagles. We love what Daddy loves. And those who are born of God, who have God as their Father, we love what the Father loves. And oh, how the Father loves His babies. Oh, how the Father loves you, beloved Olney Baptist Church, His babies. You are the apple of God's eye. The apple of God's eye. I had to study that as I was preparing the sermon. Apple eye. I really need to study that more because I've never really looked into that. What does that mean? Got a big apple in my face? I don't know what does that mean. And as I studied, is the pupil. The pupil, right, shaped like an apple, so they call it the apple. It literally translated the little man in the eye. The little man in the eye. When you look into somebody's eye, you see the reflection of yourself. And we protect that pupil. That's one of the most sensitive parts of the body. And if something comes in our face, we turn away, we blink. We blink all the time to protect that pupil. It's cared for. It's protected. Special. Friend, that's how God views you. You are special to Him. He will do whatever He has to protect you and care for you and watch over you. Deuteronomy 32, 9 through 12. But the Lord's portion is His people. The Lord's portion is His people. You are the Lord's portion. Jacob, His allotted heritage. He found Him in a desert land in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled Him. He cared for Him. He kept Him as the apple of His eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. Beloved, you are the apple of God's eye. You are special to Him. You are protected by Him. God's love is better than any earthly father or mother. Friend, maybe you in this life have had a horrible experience with your father or your mother. God's better. God is better than your father and your mother. Maybe you've had a wonderful experience with a father or mother. God's better. God is better. Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. The Lord will take care of me. God's love is better than any husband or wife. Isaiah 54:5, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, He is called. We singles want marriage so badly. Sometimes God gives it and shows you that God's love is better. Be good to learn it now. God's love is better. God's love is better than husband or wife. God sings for joy over you, His people. Zephaniah 3, 16 through 17. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Friends, God loves you. The Father loves you, sings over you, delights over you, serenades you with loud singing. I love you. I love you. I love you. And God's greatest demonstration of His love for you is the giving of His Son. We celebrate that at Christmas, right? He gave the Son to become flesh and dwell among us. He gave the Son on the cross. That is the greatest demonstration of His love. He cannot love you more, and He will not love you less. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? God loves you. The Father loves His children. And we His children, we love what He loves. And He loves His babies. He loves His children. And so because He does, we love them too. We love whoever has been born of God because we love the Father. And so we love whoever He loves. We love whoever has been born of God because we have God in us. Adrian Rogers once said that the issue is not getting us to heaven mainly, but mainly it's getting God into us. Getting God into us. Friend, that's what happens when you're born again. God comes in you. His Spirit is in you and making you more like Jesus such that you love like He loves. You begin to love like the Father because the Father dwells in you. The Spirit dwells in you. The Son dwells in you. And so we love like the Father because He's in us. We love whoever has been born of God because these brothers and sisters born of God are our brothers and sisters. Our brothers and sisters. I remember telling people coming through the membership class that me, this white boy from the South, has more in common with Sister McKelton, the African American lady who grew up and saw horrific things done to her. I have more in common with her than I do with my own brother who grew up in my house with the same parents, with the same blood, if that brother is not a Christian. You see that? Amen. I have more in common with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Who look very different from me and have had very different experiences than me than I have with my own flesh and blood if they don't know Jesus. You see that? This is true family. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it is. This is how it is in Christ. These are the deepest relationships, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we love one another. We love one another born of God. We love whoever has been born of God because Christ is in you. You say you love Jesus. Well, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. That's how it's supposed to be. If I say I love Christ and Christ is in you, then I love you. I love you, Gene. I love you. I want to be more comfortable saying that. I love you. Amen. I love you. I love you, Ted.
I love you too.
Howard always tells me I love you. Amen. And But I shouldn't feel weird about that. I love you.
Amen.
I love you. I love you because Christ is in you. Christ is in me. What does loving your brothers and sisters look like? Just a little review from last week and then we're done. What does loving one another look like? It's more than just telling you that. Right? It's more than just saying it. Again, I point you to our church covenant. That's why we have a church covenant, to remind one another of the promises that we made one another. Everyone who joins this church reads that covenant, gets a teaching session on that covenant, is the opportunity to ask questions about that covenant, and then signs the dotted line. We do it formal here, like marriage. Sign the dotted line. We make a promise to one another. We make promises because we love God and we love one another. And I gave you several P's for what it looks like to love one another. Presence. Presence. Being here. Being here. Praise God, you're here today. This is an expression of your love for God and love for one another. Friend, when we take hiatuses and we're not here and we fall out of the game, it's not loving to one another. It's not. You might think it doesn't matter, but it does. Being here is an expression of love toward God and one another, and encouraging one another. We're to encourage one another daily. So presence and prayer, praying for one another. Get a directory. Pray through the directory regularly. Praying for one another. Coming on Wednesday night, praying for one another. Praying when you're alone in the quiet place. Personal involvement. Amen. Personal involvement. Being involved in the ministries of the church. Which being here is. I don't like how some people talk about a pew setting. As if that's not important. Oh, it's important. It's active. You're to be here actively listening, taking in the Word, growing in Christ, rejoicing in who He is. Being there in the pew is active. It's active. Being here is important. Presence, it's a ministry of the church. Provide needs. Provide needs. Brother Archie was here last week and I talked about him. And Brother Ted calls me Sunday afternoon. Where's Brother Archie going for Christmas? He's coming to my house for Christmas. Amen! Amen! That's hearing the Word of God and putting it into action. Not just hearing a nice sermon, all the preacher yell and scream and go home and live the same way. That's action. That's what the Spirit's at work in Ted's heart. Let's act. Let's do something. Let's make a change. Yes, Archie's coming to my house for Christmas dinner. And another lady is fixing up her back room. If he needs a place to live, he's moving in with her. Amen. Jesus doesn't need the PCA. But we're thankful for the PCA. And we use them. It's God's common grace. So providing needs. Pointing people to Jesus. Pointing people to Jesus. We want to point people to Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Christ. Tell them about the death and resurrection. Tell them about the only hope that we have to be saved. Push from sin. We want to speak into one another's lives. And I don't think that's helping you, brother. I don't think that's good for you, sister. Push away from sin. We're going to have awkward conversations. Sometimes people, oh, you're meddling. Don't meddle in my life. No! I want you to meddle in my life. I don't want to go to hell. If you see me acting out and living in an unchristlike way, I want you to come to me in humility and say, Pastor, I saw you speak an unkind word to that man. I don't think it was helpful. I don't think it was a good witness for Jesus. And I love you. And how can I help you overcome this? That's love. Friend, turning the other way and just walking away is not love. I wrestle with this all the time. Should I say something to this person? I don't want to. I hate conflict. I hate it because I'm a proud wimp. I hate conflict. But if I love people, I will do what I hate because I love them. I'll speak. Open rebuke is better than silent love. And so we push from sin. We pursue people when they're running. We pursue. We call people up. We check on people. We ask how they're doing. We love them. We pursue. Love pursues. With love. And we persevere with. We persevere with. You ain't never getting rid of me. We love. We keep loving. Well, Jesus was born of God. It's true. He was born of God. You know, 1 John 5:18 speaks of Jesus being born of God, but it wasn't like you and I are born of God. He was born of God, but not because He needed to be born again. He came out right the first time. But he was born of God in the sense that he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Jesus was born of God, it's true, but not like sinners, me and you. The Spirit on the virgin Jew conceived the God-man through and through. He died and rose for me and you. So born again, we love because we're new. We're new. We're new. Friend, this is not something we have to try to fake. When you're born again, it just comes out. It just comes out. Let's pray that God would fill us with His Spirit and cause us to love one another as we've never loved before. Father, we thank You that You have caused us to be born of You. Father, we thank You for giving us Your Son. We thank You for sending Him to the cross to die and rise. We thank You for raising Him from the dead. We thank You for pouring out Your Spirit on Your people. We thank You for raising us from the dead spiritually, for giving us new life, for giving us a new heart, for putting Your Spirit in us, God, and moving us to love You and love one another. And Lord, we want to grow in this. We want to grow in the way that we love for one another and care for one another, the way that we're not just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. We want to be sharing the gospel this week, Father, and loving people. And so God, help us do this and apply this Word to our hearts in every way it ought to be applied. And Father, if there is anyone here today who is not born of God, we pray that today would be the day of salvation and they would be saved. God, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.